You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
But right now, it is time for a love chat. Love a good love chat. And committed relationships, Jordan, you're a fan?
If you find the right person, yes.
Oh, so the wrong person, it's wrong to commit to the wrong... Well,
it's yes. Are you just learning this?
I'm just...
If you find a person that's not for you, don't go, I want to spend my life with you.
Well, people...
Don't do that.
I think people do that all the time, Jordan.
Well, you shouldn't.
So you've been through a few committed relationships in your time.
I've also... I'm a big fan, as we point out on the show a lot, of the TV show The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
That's true.
Where the chance of that ending in a long-term committed relationship is, I think there's two still going from about 10 seasons.
Where the chance of committing to the right person is remarkably low percentage for the kind of show that it is, because there are options.
As we saw with Honey Badger's season, there's more chance of committing to no one than there is to the right person.
So true. So I caught this yesterday. Dr. Phil, he's been fixing people's relationships for years.
Oh, yeah.
And he had, I think even he's bitten off more than he can chew here.
I don't know why I've been married 10 times. When I'm in a marriage and I just can't take it anymore, I'm usually the first one to say, that's it, we're getting a divorce. And I quit.
So she's been married 10 times.
Okay.
Would you ever go down that far? Have you got in your mind, right?
I haven't been married before, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, but in your mind, right? Are you going to, do you reckon you'd give it another crack? If the first one didn't work out, like try again type mentality.
I mean, yeah, I guess so. It's hard to put yourself in those shoes. I guess you just sort of have to feel what you feel when the time comes around.
Okay, right. So you're all on feeling.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you trying to?
Well, I'm just saying you might feel it's right 10 times, but surely even you in the back of your mind's going to go.
Okay. By the time the 8th, you're like, oh, Jesus.
I've got to take a good hard look at myself here.
This feeling feels familiar.
I feel it all the time.
How much would you have to have spent on weddings as well? Because they are not cheap.
Or it's the father of the... Is it the father of the bride? He's broke now.
Is it the father of the... I don't know. Yeah.
He's done.
Hopefully he's like Elon Musk or something to be able to afford it.
And rings as well. That's 10 rings. I assume that she doesn't...
Look, it's not cheap. That's what we can establish.
I assume that...
Did she go to Dr. Phil to get a loan by chance? He's rich.
Yeah, I assume... No, they're married now. No, I'm kidding. He proposed at the end of the show. That's how they fixed it. So 10 rings, I assume she gives them back or flushes them down the toilet once she's done.
Or sells them to pay for the next wedding.
Yeah, I don't doubt she's dealing with 10 rings because that's a thumb ring, finger, and all the other ones as
well. Can imagine going through airport security. That would be a nightmare.
Jingling her way through.
My longest marriage that I've had was 8 years, and then my shortest marriage was 6 months. Last time I added it up, I have lived in over 76 houses, and I'm 56 years old.
Whoa.
Jeez.
So what do you think her motives are for marriage there, Jordan?
Look, I mean... I think I can see what path you're going down.
Do you think she's maybe into it for the real estate?
You're perhaps suggesting that there is an evil motive on this woman, which I'm not suggesting at all in the slightest.
Right.
However,
There
probably is.
Okay, what would that motive be? What would it be? I'm wondering. I'm curious.
Why are you questioning me?
I'm just wondering.
I haven't got married 10 times.
What do you think? What do you reckon her motives might be?
Look, potentially.
Yeah.
Could be, you know, allegedly, perhaps, maybe ever so slightly just after money.
I've not ever married for money.
Yeah, I feel if you have to say that, it's probably not the best, you know.
Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, if you happen to be going to Sydney this weekend...
I'm not.
I know, I'm not either.
It's the big smoke. I ain't interested.
Okay, well, then this story won't interest you and we'll just leave.
Depends, unless it can kind of coax me towards that... forsaken place.
Well, it could perhaps coax you towards staying away from one particular suburb in that place.
Oh, why is that?
St. Ignatius College in a suburb called Riverview, which is really close to sort of North Sydney, so very close to like the harbour and, you know, all the bridge and all that sort of stuff.
St. Iggy's, right?
St. Ignatius College in Riverview in Sydney.
Yep.
Decided to bring a steer to the school.
Okay.
as part of its agricultural program.
What's a steer, Jordan?
Good question.
I know what it is. I'm just wondering if you do.
I know what it is as well, but I don't know whether you
You're
do.
You're so full of it. God, you're so no, full of it.
It's no. a cow, it's, cattle, sheep, dog. It has four legs.
It's a bull that's had some work.
I was about to say that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the next word that was going to leave my mouth.
Righto.
It's a bull that's had a little
yeah, it's had some work.
Operation to an area of the body.
That's right. It's had some work done.
Anyway, this St. Ignatius College decided that it would be a good idea to bring this bull.
Interesting.
With some work done. To its school as part of its agricultural program. I assume so students can learn about, you know, animals and that sort of thing.
Right.
However, the animal, quote, broke through a stock-proof fence.
Okay.
And there is now, and I'm not making this up, I promise, there is now a steer on the loose.
Wow.
In the Sydney suburbs.
When did that happen?
This happened yesterday. So wow. As of last time I checked,
it's on the loose.
It is currently on the loose in a suburb really, really close to the harbour and all of the touristy kind of bits.
St. Iggy's, that's a private, you know, it's a good private school, right?
So St. Ignatius College is a school I have no idea.
So I think so. It's a good private school. So they're probably all the boys that are chasing after the steer showing really great manners is absolutely just smashes the place to bits on its warpath. Sorry, apologies.
Well, that's the thing. School officials have said they are concerned about the safety of the steer due to it's not being familiar with roaming in a highly urbanised area.
Yeah, no joke.
I don't know. I reckon the steer might be having the time of his life, though, in Sydney.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's near the harbour. It can go and take some Instagrams.
That's true.
It can see the bridge. It can do the bridge climb.
Go see the sights.
Go see the Opera House. Get on the ferry and go out to Manly, I think it's called.
Yep.
You can go and see all the wonderful sights in Sydney. The steer's just having a nice time.
I feel like that bridge climb would be difficult as human beings, but if you got hooves and you need all four legs on the ground at one time,
yeah,
bit more tricky.
I mean, I haven't checked the Sydney Harbour Bridge Climb website.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've got a little disclaimer on there saying you cannot do this if you are a cow.
Please, if you have hooves not welcome.
Isn't there something with hooves as well? They can go upstairs, but they can't go down?
Yeah. Yeah, because
so it'll be stuck on the Harbour Bridge.
Can go up, can't go down. The opposite of an aeroplane.
Actually, that would be a good way to find the steer, because it's still on the loose. Just get it to entice it in to do the bridge climb, and then when it's on top of the bridge, we know where it is. It can't come down. We're going to struggle getting it down.
That sounds.
But we
like
know where it is.
If Jordan has taken the, you've taken the class there. You've taken the stock class at St. Iggy's. Mm. Like, what we're going to do, guys? Now it has escaped, but if we leave it for a week, it will reach the highest point in Sydney, and it won't be able to get down.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And spooky times due to arrive over the weekend.
Yes, it's a Halloween this weekend.
As they say. Halloween, right?
Ooh, ah, as they say.
As they say.
I'm going to make that my text message tone. Ooh, ah, so whenever you send me a text message, my phone will go, ooh, ah,
as they say.
Now read what they actually have said.
And now, the Halloween, obviously, people could come and knock in the little tiny footsteps of those dastardly children.
Yes, the trick-or-treaters.
Yep, could come and knock in. Are you prepared?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, I better stock up on treats.
Just in case.
Well, Simo, you remember what happened last Halloween? I stocked up on all of these chocolates, and then I ate them all.
Yeah.
And then, luckily, no trick-or-treaters came, so I was fine.
You don't sound upset about that.
I wasn't.
So,
and I'm not.
Granted, it is an American thing, but sometimes you do see the kids get around it.
Yeah.
However, there are some treats that are out and about, which you could end up getting your hands on. This took off in one of those group pages for the Snowies recently.
Okay.
Someone has decided to start chocolate coating Brussels sprouts.
Oh. That is evil.
That's going to get you off the map, isn't it? Straight away, off the trick-or-treat map.
So they got Brussels sprouts, melted chocolate, dipped the sprouts in the melted chocolate.
Mm.
And are they planning on giving that to the kids when they come and knock in looking for sweets?
That's the plan.
Okay.
Dark days.
I mean, that is very evil. But, you know, it's, yeah.
It's an option for you if you don't want to have to deal with them in the future.
Well, it's not really an option for me because, as was previously explained, last year I got to eat all the chocolates myself.
You would have got confused.
This year, won't be eating them.
So a couple of other options have been thrown around online regarding the option of toffeeing onions instead of apples.
I feel that's eviler
it's worse,
than Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is there?
Most people saying it's like, well, if you are going to chocolate coat some Brussels sprouts or toffee up an onion, chances are you might be able to give them out, but then you're going to get a brick through your window in return.
Yeah, that could happen.
Danger.
Yeah. Look, I think if you are planning on trick or treating over this weekend,
yeah,
make sure that any chocolates or anything you get, you cut in half first to make sure they're not a disguised as a Brussels sprout.
Not disguised as a veggie.
Or also make sure they're in a sealed package. Just to be safe, you know. You don't want to, my chocolate, yes. And then you bite into it, and it's a Brussels sprout.
The last thing you want is ghosts coming after you or a kid dressed as Van Helsing or anything like that. The last thing you want is to upset those people.
Or a kid dressed as a zombie throwing a brick through your window.
Simo and Jordan.
And big fan of the show, Hippie Renee. She named a couple of chickens after the radio announcers in the building here.
Yes, so there is a chicken called Simo. There is another chicken called Jordan. Actually, no, didn't those chickens have meat to an unfortunate end?
Yeah, we did provide that update, the fact that they got murdered to absolute bits.
By a wolf. No, not a wolf.
Fox.
Fox.
Got over the chicken coop.
By a werewolf. It was Edward Cullen came and ate the Simo and Jordan chicken.
It was Jordan after a night out of the search for protein. So the reason I bring up these murdering foxes is because the University of Sydney have been studying how to ensure the safety of paddocks and farmland.
Did they come up to the conclusion of just a large fence?
Yeah, well, fences are handy, but you know, they're exploring other options.
Okay, yeah, no, fair enough.
And one such option at the moment that they're testing is it's 4 meters in height.
Okay.
It flaps about in the wind. It's got moves like Jagger.
Okay.
So are you familiar with the inflatable men that normally hang out near car yards?
Oh, those ones.
Yeah, the wobbly men.
Oh, yeah, you see them. So they're kind of, there's a pump or something that goes underneath and they kind of all dance around, it kind of looks like, to get your attention.
That's right.
Is that what they're doing? They're installing them in paddocks.
That's right, at fence lines.
In the hope that it would scare away, I assume?
That's right, yeah.
Or just the fox will be walking by and going, no, I'm not in the market for a car. I'll just keep on moving.
I'll just keep going.
Thank you.
Not interested in a Ford. Thank you very much.
So is it working, putting these near the fences? I assume there are still fences as well.
Well, they're there to scare off predators and protect the herd. Mm-hmm. So the one that has been applied to New South Wales farmland is called Fred Ascare.
Good.
He's a wobbly boy. He's yellow and he's over 4 feet in height.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been remarkably successful.
So it's working.
Absolutely. Fred Ascare, he is scaring 9 of the dozen dingoes that have showed up in the first 3 days of testing.
So there's a dozen's 10, right?
No.
What's a dozen? 12?
12.
Okay.
Because a baker's dozen is 13.
Okay, so it's scared 9. There's still 3
yeah.
that aren't scared.
Yeah, but
maybe they're just in a market for a car.
Maybe. But like you said, that's pretty successful.
Definitely.
Definitely a majority.
Do you know if they're being scared away by, obviously, the movement and the flapping around, or are they being scared by, have you ever been near one of those things? They do make a very annoying, high-pitched squeak.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
Yeah,
that could be an issue too.
But
the noise, it's just that very annoying, constant, high-pitched kind of squeak.
Ah.
Just after about 10 minutes, you're like, oh, come on, just shut it off.
So it's interesting that you bring up the sound, because the way that they're testing how successful this is, they're also playing recordings of gunshots on a loop for the 3 days as well as control. So
I really hope no one lives near this farm.
One day they're walking past, gunshots coming from everywhere. Next day, giant inflatable man. What the hell's going on?
The foxes will go, I might turn vegetarian, actually. I don't want to. I'm just going to go and eat some lettuce.
Yeah, I'm really...
It's a lot safer.
I'm really into this new thing they're calling broccoli.
What's this quinoa you speak of? I want to give it a go.
Quinoa. Yeah, kale. On the kale already.
Can you imagine that? The foxes just eating kale.
Hipster foxes. Anyway.
It's 2020.
Could happen. At least our chickens would still be alive.
Yeah. So, or they turn into hipster chickens.
Well, if they're on the kale, maybe. Only one dingo ran from the audio recording of gunshots versus nine out of the 13 or so that showed up during the testing with the inflatable unit.
Well, Simo, we have learned that if you want to scare away a dingo...
If you want to scare away a predator, then,
well,
you know, any kind of maybe dingo, maybe fox, maybe an angry chicken, because the Jordan chicken was far more aggressive.
Understandably. if you do want to scare away any form of predator, don't use a gun. Just go nick one of those things from your local car dealership.
That's it, yeah. Or learn, what's that, balloon art?
Oh, but we'll learn how to do balloons.
Yeah, because it's ballpark similar thing.
Or get a clown who can make kind of poodles out of balloons.
Yeah.
And attach one of them. It's a lot less scary, but it might work.
Have him sitting out on the front porch.
Give it a go. You never know.
Making balloon art. That would keep me away.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Actually, we've had a work experience guy, Ben, with us. Ben, hello again.
Hello.
It is your last day, so we thought we'd give you a bit of a challenge to do a Rubik's Cube by the time that the show has ended. Now, I think we can probably guess from your hello there that perhaps the Rubik's Cube didn't go...
Yeah.
It's not complete.
Well, I mean, I don't know what Rubik's Cubes are supposed to look like, but this one just looks like a pile of vomit or something. I don't even know if that's possible.
I can tell you what a Rubik's Cube's meant to look like. Not like that.
Rubik's Cube looks like a square with interchangeable colours.
Yes.
And virtually impossible. Actually, head to Instagram. Right now you can let us know how Jordan went with his Rubik's Cube attempt earlier on.
Spoiler alert, not good.
Great, yeah.
So you
failed as well.
Yes.
So does that mean then that I can...
No. No, because one thing that we did discuss is that there would be a forfeit if you did not manage to complete the Rubik's Cube by the end of the show. And that forfeit is I have a cream pie here, and similar to in all the cartoons or something, you know, a clown would put a cream pie into his face. Now, because you have not done the Rubik's Cube, we get to smush a cream pie into the work experience's face. This feels wrong in some way.
So are you referring to yourself as the clown in this scenario?
No, because doesn't the clown normally get it? It's normally the sidekick.
The clown is the one with access to pies, Jordan.
Okay. Oh, yeah, so, no, good point. Okay, yeah, I'll be the clown. I have access to pies. Yeah,
you have got
in other words, remember, I am lactose intolerant. Yeah. So this is...
Oh, are you?
Mm.
This is going to be funnier than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just adding some more whipped cream to the top of the cream pie now. I just have to test the whipped cream as well.
it's going in your mouth.
No, I'm joking. I didn't put it in my mouth. All right, Ben, Ooh. You have failed your task, unfortunately. Would you like to come over here?
Assume the position.
Assume that if you go against the window over here, then it'll be easier to clean up afterwards.
I really hope the cleaners are in this weekend.
I know. I really hope they are. This because all of a sudden started feeling wrong, smushing a cream pie into a work experience's face. But,
yeah. Well,
welcome to commercial radio.
Jordan, you're such a mean human.
I know I am.
So... Are you backing out now? I get the feeling like you're...
Well, do you want to give us a countdown?
Yeah, I can do that. Oh. Yeah, sure.
Let's get it over and done with.
One. Wait, start from three?
No, that's a good point.
Okay, right.
Start from 1,000 and count down.
3, 2, 1.
NASA are now doing cream pies in faces. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. You ready? And it is in your face. You have got a cream pie on your face. I'm not holding it. It's stuck to your face. Hey, I'll take it off for you.
Oh,
there you go. You've got
man.
Cream all over your face. I did give you a towel as well. Feel free to wipe your face.
If you'd like to suss that out, you can head... Oh, you're right?
Yeah. It's very creamy.
Yeah.
We will get you some water as well.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember... Don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah. That should do it.